Welcome to the Fantasy Hockey Hacks podcast. Tonight we are recording episode 179, fantasy preview for week 26. So for those of you that chose to have your finals on the very last week of the season like we did, congratulations to those who have gotten this far. I'm going to come up about 15 points short, although I scared the crap out of Jim.
Bruce, I was really pulling for you, buddy. That is a rough way to finish out your season.
Wow. He sent me a message this afternoon, and it's like, holy cow, man. Like, I thought you were done. I'm like, so did I. But yeah, as of this morning, I had about a 10-point lead, and I figured I'd pick up a goalie, and then he picked up a couple of players, and well, I quickly did the math here. If both of us did nothing, I still would have. The results still wouldn't have changed. I still would have lost. Although I still have two players playing, but I don't think Wyatt Johnson and Thomas Harley are going to combine for 15 points against Colorado. So we'll see how it goes. But I'm not holding my breath. Let's put it that way. So
unlikely.
I had reserved myself at the beginning of about halfway through the week that I was toast already. So the fact that I was able to at least put a scare in on that was good enough. So. I'm willing to secede already, so unless they come up with some amazing play here, it's going to be a little short. So, but
that's okay. You had a really good season overall, Bruce. I mean,
Yeah, my draft strategy was pretty simple. Drafted forwards for the first 9 or 10 rounds, and then just wing the rest of it and lean heavy on the forwards. And it's got me this far. I can't really complain. So
no, it worked out for you. Tyler just texted. He is going to join us here at some point. So,
excellent.
In a rare occurrence, you're going to get all four hacks on the episode. So that's
no way.
That's a good deal. Yeah. And I think probably fitting because we were just talking off air here that this will be the last episode of the 2023-2024 NHL regular season, fantasy season. So,
yeah.
There it is. There you have it. But so Tyler will be joining us shortly.
Did we lose him?
I think he froze.
Fitting.
It is fitting. So the bad thing is, though, if he reboots his computer, we're toast. Because this is all running off of his computer. So
yeah.
Maybe we'll wait till he unfreezes. Play the Jeopardy music. I guess we could continue without him. Ding, 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 and
what
there he stops.
To do? What's that messages? Here we go.
I'm back.
He is here.
Hey. Sorry about that, guys. Internet.
Unacceptable.
Yeah. Well, that's gonna make for some fun editing later.
Yeah, see, we should have just kept going.
You can just hear me and Bruce going, do we do it? Do we do it?
And then we started singing the Jeopardy theme.
Yeah, okay, we're off to a rip-roaring start here. This is good.
I love it.
So, Bruce, you we'll get off topic here a little bit, and we'll maybe just try and kill some time so Tyler can show up.
For sure.
So you're out of the fantasy hockey playoffs, most likely. I lost last week, disappointing. That's fine. I'm going to win this week, which is whatever. But that aside, you had a little field trip out to Edmonton this weekend, and you picked a hell of a game to go to. So tell us about Friday.
I did. So my wife, a couple friends, and I, we went to Edmonton for the weekend. We caught the Colorado game Friday night, and they played really well in that game. It was beginning of the game. It's kind of like, okay. Interesting. It wasn't fast. It was kind of feeling each other out, and the goals just went in for Edmonton. After the score was tied up at 2, the 3-2 goal. Oh God, was that the one that bounced off Kane's shin? I forget, but it didn't seem to matter. Like, put the puck on the net. You look at Kane's first one was the McLeod shot that bounced off of Gorgiev. It just bounced off of Kane and went into the net. There was a few of them like that, just deflections. And that's That's what they needed. That's really what they needed. It was a great game. They very well played. Stewie made some great saves.
He did, yeah. He really did.
The Viking put in some duty. He knocked Rantanen. I didn't realize this till after the game. He knocked Rantanen out of the game.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. He hit his head on the ice, hey, like after, like when he landed.
He was looking a little woozy when he got up after the second hit. That's why I thought maybe concussion or something like that.
Yeah, I saw he's in concussion protocol now, so.
Yeah.
Hopefully he's not out too long. You don't want to see that, but.
No, he's going to miss some time. Like he looked like Bambi trying to get off the ice.
Yeah.
And it wasn't two hard hits from home.
But it wasn't the second hit wasn't really the impact so much. I think it was, if you watch that playback in slow motion, his head bounces off the ice when he goes down. So
yeah, there was some good solid contact there. And
but I'm with you, Bruce. Hopefully he's okay. Like, cause you never want to see a player, especially a guy like Rantanen, who just makes the game more entertaining, right? He's a good player.
Exactly. Like 100-point player. You want to see best on best. That's what you want to see. And
yeah,
clearly on Friday, the Oilers were definitely the better team by far.
They outshot them substantially too. It was like 46 to 23.
Yeah. It was crazy.
40. They doubled up 23. Right?
It was pretty close to. Yeah. It was.
And I like that play, the McDavid McKinnon play, where he backtracked
at the beginning of the game there.
Yeah, and took the puck away from McKinnon. Yeah. That was fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that and I bumped my wife. I said, McDavid's ready to play. This is going to be fun tonight to see.
Yeah, that's good. Just,
like the one McDavid goal, who forget which player that, I think it was from Bouchard, the pass.
Yep.
Or McDavid just basically flicked it.
Yeah.
He just kind of floated up in the air and then right past the block. All Gorgiev could do was watch it because he couldn't get there. And McDavid just goes, what are you going to do, right?
It was just kind of a funny play of the whole thing. Yeah. He's like, oh, I'll take it. That worked.
Oh, got to take it, right? That's just how it went for me. Oh, it was great.
But I thought that was so important for Edmonton to finally beat Colorado. It feels like they've had a really hard time beating those guys recently. And
it wasn't just a squeak out win. It was dominant win. There was the game the next night was squeaked out barely. They were lucky to get out of Calgary with that win.
I never felt like they were in trouble though. It wasn't, you know, like the game that we went to, the four of us, and they got worked over by Calgary in that 6-2 loss. You know, like that game you watched, and they're like, they were
Edmonton
awful.
Was
like,
never in that game.
No, they're terrible the entire game. This one, it was like, I never really felt like Calgary was in it, right? Like they made it close, and it was, you know, but to me, it was always Edmonton's game to lose.
The penalties made me nervous because they took a ton of penalties in that Calgary game, a ton of them.
Yeah.
And I almost thought there for a second Corey Perry was going to kill Evander Kane.
I was just going to say, I loved that reaction from Corey Perry.
Like he was ready to kill somebody when he came off the ice. And yeah, him and Kane had a chat. I'm not sure Kane enjoyed the chat very much, but it's
Didn't look like much of a chat there from Kane's side.
Pretty one-sided.
I think he was all listening. I don't think there was any talking on his part, but yeah, that's.
Well, and it was interesting to hear Kevin Bieksa say that playing with Corey Perry, he said he was never like that. You rarely saw him do anything. He said he just basically kind of sat in his own little world.
Yeah.
So he was obviously pretty upset with, I think the one play they kept going back to was the one where Kane had turned the puck over down low.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that's just what I heard too.
You can't do that, right? It was like going into the playoffs, you can't make plays like that.
No, because if you keep possession, to keep the forecheck going, right, and get a chance out of it, and they lost possession and they gotta go back now. And
maybe you draw a penalty, right? If you keep it in the offensive zone, you keep it down low and you're cycling the puck, there's a better chance you're going to draw a penalty. But
yeah,
it was interesting. My mom and my stepdad were at that game with my sister and my brother-in-law. And my sister and brother-in-law are Flames fans. They've got season tickets. And then my mom and Milt, obviously, are they're Oilers fans. So they were happy for the outcome on Saturday. But how did the experience for you, Bruce, compare? Like, we had obviously really nice seats with Tyler. How were your seats for this game on Friday?
We were sitting right under a cold air vent, so it was chilly.
not ideal, but that's okay. You can see everything, obviously.
No. And Tyler was there, so got to chat with, got to introduce my wife to Tyler and Leah, so that was fantastic. So that was
nice.
I was hoping he'd be there so I could introduce everybody to it, but the other two had already gone to the seats when Tyler and Leah had come down. There he is.
Oh, speak of the devil.
Here look he at is. That.
Hi.
Hey, buddy.
Hi. He's trying to figure.
Can you hear me now?
We can hear you. I don't know if you're sounds actually connected like to your mic, though.
I'm going to say, it sounds like you're recording in your bathroom.
Tech, where's
how about now?
Now we can hear you.
Much better.
So it turns out you just got to turn this thing around.
This is the second time you've done this now.
Yeah.
just give me a sec.
Yeah. See, Devin, you and I don't have to read any of the waiver wire picks tonight. I can just speak to Todd and John and Tyler.
We'll just let these guys do all the waiver wire picks. Yeah,
exactly.
Well, I'm gonna have to cut a lot of dead air, I think, in the editing if I really want to get serious. But we'll give Tyler another second here. Maybe while Tyler's making that adjustment, we should go through John's list. What do you think?
Yeah, we should. We probably should. Right?
Let's do all this.
Right. We'll let John talk about his. Did you put this one in or did?
I didn't, but he was actually my pick, so...
Okay, well, you and I are on the same page, John. That's great.
Yes, yes.
All right.
Does that sound okay now?
Yeah, you sound more like you should, Tyler. Yep.
Yeah.
Terrible.
I'm not in a bathroom anymore?
No, you sound good.
Sound good?
Nice.
All right.
This is a complete disaster. Sorry about this.
You know what, Tyler's the first time the four of us have been on the show for a long time, too. So this
very
is
long time.
Pretty much what we'd expect. But we'll go through John's list, and then we're just talking about the Oilers game on Friday.
Okay. Yes, for John's list this week, we've got Rasmus Anderson, basically for being a knob, candidate for least likable player in the league. Absolutely. Oh, I see league history in there. Wow, that's bold.
He's got to be pretty close.
Yeah. I can name a few more I don't like, but.
Well, that's the point of John's list.
Exactly. But just that reaction there on Drysdale. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
I hate stuff like that.
I wish Drysdale would have played that better. Instead of slashing him back, I would have leaned over. It's like, is that all you got? Like, my dead grandmother swings harder than that. Like,
should have just turned around and two-handed him.
Do something to wind Anderson up instead of taking, because you know they're not going to call the first one. They're going to call the retaliation.
They always do.
And they always do. So you got to
ask Tyler. He knows all about that.
But was Hyman ever in Markstrom's thing there for the first part of that game?
The whole game. He's right in his kitchen.
Oh, yeah. Markstrom was swinging stick and everything in that. And they just let it all go. It was amazing.
Yeah. But I just, Rasmus Anderson, man, I can't get over that guy. I've never witnessed a player in recent memory that I've just disliked so much. Just for being.
I hate him.
He's just, yeah, he's.
I hate him.
I don't know if it's his face or what, but it's just everything about that guy.
He's a rat, and he's not even good at it. He is just a spot picker. He only goes after, like, if it's a straight-up, squared-up battle with anybody, they have to be smaller than him or unsuspecting.
Yeah.
And just, like, earlier this year on Line A,
yeah,
just a spot picker, and he'll never square up with somebody straight up, so.
Zero terrible. Time. Zero awful. Time for that guy, yeah.
And I dropped him for my fantasy team today.
Yeah, I cringe every time I think of even picking that guy up. I can't do it.
No.
I dropped him for Connor Ingram.
Tyler, we were just talking about, it, just to go back to this the weekend here quickly. Obviously, big win over Calgary, but an even bigger win against Colorado. And I just... commented saying, like, I think for them going into the playoffs, that was sort of mentally one that they had to win.
Yeah, I think especially after the previous two games that were horrendous.
Yeah.
I was at that game and I wasn't paying as much attention as I probably should have been to the actual game. I find that if I'm at home, like, I pick up everything. Yeah. And if I'm at the game where you should pick up more, I pick up nothing. I didn't even know Rantanen didn't play the third period.
Neither did I. I was there too.
Yeah. But definitely after the previous two games. That was a good showing. And then to not have a letdown the next day against Calgary, even though Calgary sucks.
Yeah. But still, I think that's one that Tyler, you'd say is a scheduled loss against Calgary, right? On the second half of a back-to-back.
Yeah.
And because Calgary plays Edmonton hard and they're not good, but Edmonton somehow seems to lose those games most of the time. So,
yep, they sure do.
Yeah.
And Pickard played well.
He did. He did.
There was a few saves there. I was trying to figure out how he stopped those.
So I guess my question here too, before we go on to Fantasy Lock of the Week, is can the Edmonton Oilers win the Pacific Division?
If Demko doesn't play the rest of the season, yes. If Demko comes back before the end of the season, no.
I guess my thing would be, do you want them to?
Well,
I would rather play, I think they would probably rather play LA, but again, if they ended up having to play Vegas in the first round, I think I wouldn't prefer that personally, but I think the team probably would, because you get that out of the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you beat them. Mm-hmm. Obviously the easier road is LA and then who is ever next there. You're still probably going to have to play Colorado or Dallas if you want to go anywhere.
Yeah.
And both of those look pretty difficult. So I don't know. I don't know if it matters. I think I'd probably rather play Vegas right now than I would play Nashville. So
Nashville.
Yeah, I don't think I'd want to play Nashville either right now.
But I know how Edmonton plays in the regular season against Nashville, but we haven't seen them ever play in the playoffs. So
yeah.
Saros is a goalie that could steal a series. Mm-hmm. LA doesn't have one.
No.
I don't think Vegas does this year.
They just said
earlier today, Vegas almost didn't have any goalies.
Yeah, did Logan Thompson, he went off the ice with an injury or something, right?
Yeah, he's fine apparently. But yeah, there was a bit of concern there all of a sudden because Hill's not ready and Thompson went off the ice. It didn't look good when he went off the ice, but they say he's fine.
Okay. But okay, I would agree with that, Tyler. It may not matter because right now they've got LA, but that's going to go back and forth. LA and Vegas are within a point of each other, so it doesn't, may not matter. But okay, so Fantasy Lock of the Week, Bruce. This is an interesting one.
Yes, it is. This week, and I totally forgot about this. Mr. Brady Tkachuk of the Ottawa Senators. Is he really rostered 100%?
In Yahoo, yeah, and then 99% in Fantrax.
Wow. He recorded 16 hits versus the New Jersey Devils on Saturday night. 16 hits.
Seven was against one player. I think it was Brendan Smith or something, someone said.
I think that's a record, isn't it?
It's a record, yeah. 16 hits. Yeah. That's crazy. And in all the years Ovechkin's been around, he's never thrown a 16-hit game.
No, I don't think anybody. What was the next closest?
That's a great question.
I bet you it's probably 15, but Ovechkin was too busy taking one-timers from the top of the circle to
notice, to
finish hitting people.
That's fair. Yeah.
That's quite an accomplishment.
And I think he had seven shots on goal, too. Like, he had a big game, actually. Seven shots on goal, two penalties, or two penalty minutes, over 20 minutes time on ice.
And then they beat Washington today, too. In overtime.
Yeah, the East looks really interesting. I'd love to see the Penguins make the playoffs. I want to see Sid in the postseason.
They're going to do a bunch of nothing, but it would be good to see.
I just want to see it. I don't.
Bruce, I know I showed up late here, but did we talk about Bruce's like almost comeback?
We did talk. Then, yeah.
We touched on it briefly. Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to check, see if we did.
So Tyler, you're our last hope, buddy. You're our last hope on this podcast.
I know. I was hoping that I was going to play Bruce, but
yeah.
Cause I'll play Jim.
It was enough to warrant. I got a message from Jim this afternoon.
Well, I think he had like 75 points today, and to do that on a Sunday is pretty wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. I put up 70 some yesterday and it's close to that today. So I've got two players left, but I don't think they're going to put up 15, 16 points. So not against Colorado.
No.
Be nice if they would, but I don't think it's going to happen.
I just wanted to make sure we touched on that.
Yeah. Tyler's going to make the final in our ESPN league.
Yes.
little known fact, Tyler has not won yet in this league. So I want to see you do it, man. You got to do it.
I hope I do.
Especially against Big Jim. He's been giving me the gears. Yeah. He's giving everybody the gears.
Well, and most guys didn't pay for it. So this way I don't have to take it out of my own pocket to send it to anybody. I'm hoping, my fingers are crossed, I win.
Oh, man. Just don't go to Hawaii and forget to set your lineup, okay?
I won't. I promise.
All right. Hey, Bruce, what do you think? Should we actually get into the meat and potatoes, probably why people are here to listen to this podcast?
Yeah, we probably should get into it. Next up here, we've got Edgework NHL Schedule 4, Week 26. So this segment is where we put in the work to give you the edge in your fantasy hockey league. Each week, the Hawks will cover the schedule, waiver wire targets to guide you to victory. Things you need to know. So welcome to Week 26. At this point in the fantasy season, you could be all wrapped up already, or you could be heading into the finals. So congrats to everyone that made it this far. For a number of leagues, week 26 will run until the end of the season. So we're looking at April 8th to April 18th, which encompasses the rest of the season. And we're going to include all of those games here in our schedule for that. So for the remaining part of the season, there is going to be 76 games remaining. For the next 7 days, there is for the remaining schedule, there's 3 full days and 8 light days. So the light days are where 50% of the or fewer of the NHL teams are playing. So in terms of optimizing the schedule, there's a few points here to look at. So there are 5 teams that play 6 games next week, 14 teams that play 5 games. Vegas plays all of their games on light days. They have 6 games next week. Edmonton and Chicago play 5 of their games on light days next week. Edmonton actually plays a total of 6 games next week. Vancouver, Arizona, and Calgary play 4 games on light days. And there are 8 sets of back-to-back games here over the next stretch. So no teams play less than 4 games here till the end of the season. So just do a quick recap here for Monday the 8th is 2 games, Tuesday is 13, Wednesday is 3, Thursday is 10, Friday is 5, Saturday is 13, Sunday is 4, then for the following week, Monday is 8, Tuesday is 8, Wednesday is 5, and for the last day of the season, there are 6 games. And then, I'm not going to go through them all, but we've got all of the teams that play 5, 6, and 4 games here listed in the notes. We will now move on to waiver wire targets here for week 26. Waiver wire targets will be focused on players that are rostered in roughly 50% or less in Yahoo or Fantrax leagues. When considering players to target, we review recent performance, player deployment, upcoming schedule, and more. And we will start off with the forwards. So Jim actually picked this guy up today after he saw that I picked up a goalie. And he picked up Mr. Nick Bjugstad, Arizona Coyotes. He's rostered 18%, 38% in Fantrax. Arizona's got 5 games here for the rest of the season. He's got 14 points and 9 goals. 14 points, 9 goals in 14 games over the last month. Makes Mr. Bjugstad an excellent streaming option as we head into the final week of fantasy season. Top line role over her 1 hit a game. Excellent line mates. He is with Clayton Keller and Nick Schmaltz. Makes this an easy decision. It was for Jim. I don't know if he got a point today, though.
No, he didn't, actually. Yeah. But he's been really productive, and I like those line mates. And I actually like them to beat Vegas of the night, too, was pretty sweet, so...
Well, they come down from 4-1.
Yeah. And,
like, going into the third period, it's like, holy crap, what a collapse. Vegas needs to do more of that.
If Vegas lays an egg for the last 6 games of the season, they could miss the playoffs. I'm still holding out hope, Bruce. If they collapse, utterly collapse, and St. Louis can run the table the last 4 games, they'll miss the playoffs.
That would be amazing. I can't see it happening, but that would actually be amazing.
Yeah, as Tyler says, I like to dream in Technicolor, so we'll see what happens.
All right. John, you want to take the next one?
Sure. Next guy we got on here is Anthony Cirelli, center with Tampa Bay, rostered 11%. Yahoo, 28% in Fantrax. Five games sweet or for the upcoming schedule here. Steven Stamkos and Brandon Hagel playing with him on that second line. Also getting some power play two time as well. With 11 points, 7 goals, and 14 games dating back to March 1st, Cirelli appears to have found his offense just at the right time, offering a hit and block per game in addition to great line mates in the top six. Cirelli is definitely a valuable fantasy option there. He's played really well lately here. Yeah, picking up these points here and getting a few shots on net too as well, so...
His line mate there had a good week. Stamkos has had a really good week points-wise.
He's been fire.
And for Bangers Leagues, too, Sorelli's been putting up, like, just a guy you like to see, right? And he's always been good defensively, but, I mean, now he's starting to put up some offense, which is nice to see.
Yeah, very much so, because I have his two line mates in two of my teams. I got Stamkos in one and Hagel in the other. He's been very good. Tyler, you read the show notes? Do you know where the show notes are? No?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Didn't think so.
Yeah, right. Don't push him. I'm just glad he made it.
I asked first if he's had the show notes open. I just thought I'd ask. So.
Oh, man.
Devin, you want to talk about our next one?
Yeah, let's talk about Vladimir Tarasenko, who has been outstanding here recently for the Florida Panthers, left wing, right wing eligible, rostered in 55% of Yahoo leagues, 84% in Fantrax. They've got just four games here the remainder of the season, but he is playing on that top line with Alexander Barkov and Sam Reinhart and on power play one. They're dealing with some injuries there with Aaron Ekblad and also Carter Verhaeghe. So Tarasenko may pick up a little extra ice time into the final stretch of the season here, but his recent performance has been great. Since joining the Panthers, he's posted 11 points, 5 goals, and 24 hits in 14 games. That's 1.7 hits per game. You can't really ask for better line mates in Barkov and Sam Reinhart. How many goals is Reinhart up to now?
That is a good question. Give me a second.
Okay, we'll let Bruce fact check that. But I mean, Reinhart's having an outstanding season. Barkov is one of the most underrated players in the NHL. The deployment's great. Production's there. At the time of writing, he was at just 55% in Yahoo is pretty outrageous. So if he's still available and if you're still in it to win a championship, Tarasenko should absolutely be on your radar.
53 goals, 37 assists.
Not too shabby.
Not bad at all.
So are we just letting Tyler like not talk about waiver wire targets? Or are we going to... Yeah, okay, that's okay. He's
that's... I saw him hold up his phone. I think that's probably what he's doing the entire show on. So for him to read the show notes off of that could be tough, especially if he's split screening it.
Yeah. Okay, so who's talking about Ivan Barbashev then? Bruce?
Wanted to say one thing quickly. We were talking about Cirelli there. Looks like he left the April 4th game partway through the game. So I'm not sure on that situation there.
Yeah, when I was reading through this, John, it looked like he may be okay. Like they were hopeful that it was going to just be, it was more of a precautionary thing as to why they didn't bring him back.
Good.
I saw the day-to-day tag too, and I wondered, but I looked and it appears as though he's going to be fine.
Perfect.
Obviously check that before you pick him up though.
He wasn't going to be playing.
He didn't play Saturday.
Yeah, no, so I saw he didn't play Saturday, but I was hoping upcoming here. So
yeah, confirm that before you grab him, obviously, but he's been productive.
Yeah.
All right, Mr. Ivan Barbashev, Vegas Golden Knights. He's rostered 36% in Yahoo, 58% in Fantrax. Vegas has got that six-game schedule end of the season. So Barbashev here has produced points in spurts this season, but for fantasy managers looking for some offense late in the season, the Golden Knights forward has 6 points in his last seven games, riding shotgun with Jack Eichel and Jonathan Marchessault on the top line and top power play unit. For this in Bangers Leagues, Barbashev has averaged 2.55 hits per game over his last nine games played. That's pretty nice. Not as good as Brady Tkachuk, but nice.
That'll do. 2.5 hits a game, I'll take it all day.
Absolutely. Did anybody pick him up, or is he still floating around on the wire here? He's still floating around on there.
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
Get him.
Tyler, I love when you drink the Kool-Aid, man. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I got to win next week, so I'm trying to do the thing.
Do the thing, good.
Check okay. it. Oh, he is reading the show notes.
he's doing the thing. He's reading the notes and hitting the waiver
roster in that.
Well, Tyler, maybe you can talk about the next guy for us then.
You should.
Ellie Tolvanen, rostered 27% in Yahoo. Six games left, playing on the third line. Not super flashy. Has set a career high in points at 41. Could still set a career high in goals. 7 points, one goal in his last 10 games. 2.8 hits per game. Significant power play time and in the top six, so there's potential there. I think another guy, too, for forwards here would be Shane Wright, based on the last couple of games that he's played.
Yeah.
Maybe even above Tolvanen in here, but kind of garbage time for them. But
Yep, for sure.
And Tolvanen's been a good pickup for Seattle. And Nashville kind of gave up on him and put him on waivers, and he's played well for Seattle since they picked him up.
Yeah, a lot of the advanced analytics guys really like Eli Tolvanen.
All right, let us move on to defensemen. Who wants to talk about our first defenseman?
Sure, why not?
All right.
The first guy we got on here for defenseman is Ryan Pulak with the Islanders, rostered 17% Yahoo, 27% Fantrax, 5 games remaining. Playing on that second pairing with Adam Pelich and getting some power play 2 time as well. From fantasy perspective, it always felt like he has more to give, but with the arrival of Noah Dobson, the upside is certainly limited. However, Pulak is still playing big minutes and providing some category coverage. 1.71 hits a game and 2.56 blocks a game this season. And more recently, his... bringing some offense to the table as well with 5 points, 1 goal in his last 8 games.
Not bad at all.
And the Islanders are pushing for playoffs too here, right? So
they sure are. They are, as of right now, they are in third place in the Metropolitan. They're 1 point up on Red Wings and then 2 points up on the Capitals and the Penguins, who are have identical records, like literally identical records, 36, 30, and 11.
Yeah, I'd rather see Pittsburgh and Washington over the Islanders and Detroit right now, but.
At minus 41 goal differential for Washington just sticks out like a huge sore thumb.
I'd rather not see Washington.
But I just, you're only going to get a few more seasons of Sid and of Ovi, and it's like, I just want to see those guys one more time in the playoffs, even if they don't do much.
Just I'm okay with Sid being in. I want Sid in.
Yeah, for sure. I don't want Ovi. Actually, and you know what? I do like Patrick Kane. I know you're a Patrick Kane guy, John, so if Detroit made it, like that wouldn't hurt my feelings either, but
correct.
I really don't care about the Islanders. Like, give me Detroit, no. Give me Pittsburgh, give me Washington. The Islanders can take a hike, but.
Yep.
All right, let us move on to Mr. Darren Radish of the Tampa Bay Lightning. He is basically, well, nobody's picked him up. He's only rostered 3% in Yahoo, 20% in Fantrax. He got 5 games coming on here. So here's a name we did not expect to discuss this season was Darren Radish. He's available basically everywhere. The Bolts defenseman is playing on the top pairing next to Victor Hedman and producing offensively 31 points. 6 goals in 76 games this season. In his 21 NHL games prior to this season, Radish had just 1 goal and 2 assists. Since March 9th, the Bolts blue liner has posted an impressive 10 points, including 2 goals over his last 12 games. Over the same span, Radish has also chipped in with a hit per game, 2.67 blocks per game, that's nice, and an even 3 points on the power play. So he's probably getting power play 2 time, right? That would where
he is, yeah.
Sergachev would have been most likely. So that's definitely been a boost for him. That's good. Good for Tampa too. They've got someone that could slide in there and do that. Because I don't think Sergachev's going to be ready anytime soon. Although I guess won't be the first round of the playoffs, maybe the second.
I just can't believe that far. Darren Radish isn't rostered in more leagues. 3%. He's covering lots of categories. He's playing on the top pairing.
Yeah.
It's guys like this is that's why Tampa is still good.
Yes. Like
guys that should not be anything, but they just are able to slot them in spots that they can play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Surprising. Look at what Dumba, right? Dumba, Duclair, like kind of slot.
Asamont.
Yeah.
Guys like that that just are nobodies that just find a spot.
Yeah. Do you know when he's healthy?
Fit in.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. You two going to fight over next one, Devin, well, Tyler?
Tyler, if you want to, you take it, man. But this is basically just a love letter to the Viking.
Ekholm. Roster 75%. Six games left playing with Bouchard. The last, 15 games, I know we have written down here 12 games, he's an offensive defenseman, which is insane, given the fact that he's plus 70-something since he joined the team. 17 points in the last 12, 6 goals, plus 13, 37 shots on goal. It's just over 3 a game, 20 hits, 15 blocks, and just under 22 minutes of ice time per night. Probably not available at 75%, but if he is, which he's not in our league right now, but if he is, pick him up.
We just had to mention him, right? It's like he and you forgot to mention Destroyer of Worlds as he crushed Rantanen, but
it was great.
Yeah,
it was great.
Yeah,
two perfectly clean hits too.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, absolutely love Matias Ekholm. The only thing I can critique Ekholm, I just wish he was 2 or 3 years younger. I wish we got him 2 or 3 seasons ago. Doesn't matter. He's still phenomenal. Just keep doing what you're doing.
I bet you he's still going to be able to play for another 2 seasons beyond his current contract at a high level too.
Yeah. I saw something today that was interesting. Someone said that Vinny Desharnais is now actually playing more time against elites than Darnell Nurse and Cody Ceci.
I personally don't like it, but that's good.
I'm just that to me, that's concerning. Maybe it's a good thing for Desharnais. I don't know if he can do it and keep his head above water, but that's
fine in the regular season. You watch in the playoffs, and we're going to talk about it again, that he just doesn't have the foot speed to get there.
Yeah. Fine, Tyler. Crush my dreams.
For him right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yay.
So before we get into goaltenders, a scoreboard update. Jim and I are now tied at 317 point. Oh, sorry. He has hit 317.7. I'm at 317.1.
Oh.
I have 2 players left, and they're about to enter the third period. I think Jim is done.
No, he's still got Nichushkin.
He's still got Nichushkin. He's got Nichushkin? Yeah, he's got Nichushkin. So coming down to the wire here. I didn't think my team was going to crawl back into it. But yeah.
You were down 15 points, Bruce. Jim. How does that happen?
Thomas Harley.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Harley's got 3 assists. And where's my other guy here? Wyatt Johnson's got 2. So yeah, that's I didn't think they were gonna pull themselves back into that. Oh, so man.
You just know Jim is shitting himself right now.
Absolutely. This has to, and this is probably the highest scoring week we've had too.
Yeah, both guys.
For 2 people.
Yeah.
Easy.
That's just nuts. It's gonna go right down. Literally, it's gonna go right down to the end of the game.
We're pulling for Bruce. I want to see an all hacks final. I want to see Bruce and Tyler duke it out in the final. Give it to me.
Me too.
That'd be sweet. That'd be sweet.
Oh, man.
Oh, because all of Harley's points are on the power play. That's why. That's why that total jumped up so quick. Nice. Harley's got 11 points today, and Johnson's got 6.9. Too bad neither of them aren't much for category coverage. I have to go with points.
Anywho, all right, Bruce, focus. Goaltenders.
That's where we're sitting. So, goaltenders. All right. Who wants to talk about the tallest goaltender in the NHL?
I can cover this one, Bruce. I'm not, to be honest, this Ivan Fedotov thing, it's 6 foot a million, whatever he is.
6 foot 8.
6 foot 8. Yeah. Tallest goaltender playing in the NHL. That's great. That's a nice story. He's 5% rostered in Yahoo, 17% in Fantrax. The Flyers have got four games left. They are flailing around. Kind of just like an epic collapse from them, hey, towards the end of the season here.
Yeah.
But the only reason I really suggested Fedotov is that Samuel Ersson has just one win in his last seven appearances. He's posted some really ugly numbers. Fedotov played well in his first appearance, allowing two goals on 21 shots. And then he had a really rough outing against the Sabres. He had like a 700-something save percentage. The thought here is just that he's going to give you more starts than Urson's going to towards the end of the season, his last four games. Somehow they're out of a playoff spot, but they're going to keep pushing, right? So if you're desperate, if you're in a deep league, I think Fedotov makes some sense. But there's probably some better options out there, which we're going to talk about here shortly.
For sure. And Johnny would like to tell you all about him.
Next guy I got on here is the good old Pittsburgh Penguins, Alex Nedeljkovic, roster 22% Yahoo, 28% Fantrax. Equally as dramatic as the Flyers falling out of the playoff contention, the Pittsburgh Penguins find themselves in the second wild card spot as of Saturday night, which I hope they get it. That final spot is still up for grabs as Washington and Detroit both have a game in hand, but you can bet Sid and the boys will be playing their best hockey to wrap the season. As for Alex Nedeljkovic, if I can ever say his name correctly, he has assumed the starting role on net for the Pens, having started eight consecutive games and winning six of them. Since March 24th, he's posted a 6.012 record with a 2.52 goals against average and a 9.18 save percentage, with a 3.42 goals saved above expected. Pittsburgh's schedule to finish the season is a tough one, though, with matchups against Toronto, Detroit, Boston, Nashville, and the Islanders.
I think it lines up perfect for Pittsburgh that they're going to play those tough teams that have already, like, other than Nashville and I guess Detroit, locked down playoff spots and position, really.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not hungry for anything. And Nedeljkovic has done this before. He did it with Carolina. He can do this stuff in like a 10 to 20 game segment where he's Vezina winner in that short segment. Yeah. And that's exactly what they need to get in.
And it could be interesting too, Tyler, because we've seen this before where teams that are basically playing playoff hockey for the last month of the season, they come in and those are the teams that generally will upset whoever they play. Kind of like Columbus did against Tampa, but you see it lots where, I mean, would it surprise you if Pittsburgh all of a sudden was an underdog and there's no pressure? The pressure's off, right? If they make the playoffs, I mean, they're playing loose hockey.
Well, and they still have, like, they're not the best team that's going to be in, but they still have guys that have won three cups.
Yeah.
And a core of those guys. So in a playoff series, they could still actually do something. I don't think they're gonna, but they could.
It's possible. I just want to see
crap out of somebody.
Yeah.
All right. Some also's we've got here. Alex Lyon from the Detroit Red Wings. So Lyon has started the last five of the past six games for Detroit, three of them with a save percentage of .944 or better. Another one here is Semyon Varlamov. He's the guy that got me back into this yesterday with a beautiful shutout they posted against. I can't remember who it was, though, but
41 save shutout, Bruce.
I know. I was, I saw that today, and then I watched Jesper Wallstedt do that to me today. Jim had picked him up, and I'm like, oh, dear God, I should have picked up Wallstedt. So here's the thing. If I would have picked up Wallstedt instead of Ingram, I'd actually be 4 points up right now.
You should have been smarter, Bruce. You should have been smarter.
Well, because that was my conundrum. Wallstrom or Ingram? Remember Wallstrom's last game against Dallas, and it was ugly.
Yeah.
But it's Chicago, and it's like, okay, I'm thinking Arizona should be able to handle San Jose, and they did. But I didn't expect that shutout from Wallstedt. Otherwise, I would have picked him up.
You're still in it, though, so it may not matter, right?
We're still in it. We're 0.6 out, and I think we're about to start the third period, so.
But Varlamov, going back to him quick, he's been good. So 4-1-0 record, 2.20 goals against average, and a .938 save percentage. And it wouldn't, like, wouldn't surprise me if he continues to start a few more games over Sorokin just going into the playoffs here.
Yeah, no, that would make a lot of sense. There's a lot of doing some reading in there. All everyone kind of seems to think the same thing, that they may lean more towards Varlamov here headed down the last week of the season here.
Posting numbers like that anyway.
Absolutely. And who have they got? Islanders, who are they playing here all next? Where is my schedule? Search schedule. Next 2 weeks.
Another guy, too, for a forward. I know we're kind of done, but Tom Wilson. Only rostered 27% in ESPN. He's available now that he's back and they're pushing.
Could cover some categories for you, too. Some penalty minutes, yeah. Some hits.
Yeah, so the Islanders play the Rangers, Montreal, the Rangers, New Jersey, and their last game of the season against the Penguins. So that could come down to be a very interesting and very important game at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Is that the last game of the season for Pittsburgh too? Where is Pittsburgh on this list?
Yeah, it looks like it, eh?
Yeah, that's their last game of the season too. So that could be a very important game, because it doesn't look like, the last day of the regular season is all teams from the West. So that could be very, very important.
So before we sign off here, because this is going to be our last episode, I think, of the season here, guys, right? So Tyler, I think you missed that. We chatted about it briefly at the start of the episode, but this is our last weekly preview and likely our last episode before we take our break. And then I think Evan and Ryan are probably going to have some content available kind of heading into the draft. They'll cover some prospect stuff. But we'll take our break and then, kind of in January or July.
January. We're taking half the season off.
Let it be noted I am drinking a scotch here, and I'm absolutely destroyed. I've been running around with kids for the last 2 days. But anyway, July. Yeah, mid-July we'll come back. We'll do our stuff. But do we want to just really quickly, who does everybody like to win the cup this year? If you had to pick right now, who's your pick? Give me one team. Who do you like?
Carolina.
You like Carolina? I liked what they did at the trade deadline, Bruce. I really liked what they did.
I do too.
Dallas.
That was my other pick. That would be my other one.
Not just because Edmonton just got their ass kicked, but the makeup of that team, like older veterans that have won, young guys that are slotted in the right spots that play fast.
Yeah.
A goalie that could steal multiple series if he wanted to. Yeah. Mobile defenseman that can move the puck. Hakanpää comes back. Like, they're still a physical D. They're big, fast. That'd probably be mine.
And they are up 5-3 on the Avalanche going into the third period.
Yep. I can't argue
in
that.
Colorado. One
like, yeah, they're Dallas is an absolute wagon, and it would not surprise me at all to see them win a cup this year.
I don't think enough people have talked about them either.
No. Agreed.
No, I would agree too.
I kind of like Florida. Like I like Dallas. If I'm picking one, I would probably tend to agree with you, Tyler. I'd say Dallas. If I'm being a complete homer, I'll say Edmonton. But I do think I could see like a Dallas Florida Cup final. Florida's been really good.
Yeah, I just don't think that you can play that type of hockey all season and in the playoffs. I think they kind of started that later in the season last year when they kind of started to catch back up to get into the playoffs to go to the finals. I just don't think that you can do it for an entire season and into the playoffs.
And the difference is they're playing last year. They were playing with house money. They weren't expected to be there this year. The expectation is they're supposed to go deep because of where they finish.
Here's something interesting, guys. So the teams you mentioned, Bruce, you said Carolina. Yeah. Tyler, you said Dallas. I mentioned Florida. I just went and looked at their goal differential. It's Dallas first in the league at plus 60, Carolina second at plus 58, and Florida tied for second at plus 58. And then Edmonton's fourth at plus 56.
We should look back at what we had at the start of the year. Two for picks.
Yeah. Well, another thing we'll probably do this summer, Tyler, we talked about was just going back over some of our projections and
make fun of ourselves.
Make fun of ourselves. Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
It's going to be a couple.
I will say, I think we were pretty close on Connor McDavid. A lot of people were expecting him to maybe push a bit higher, and we kind of said, no, he'll probably take a bit of a step back this year. And he did have an injury at the start of the year. But the other thing here, guys, are we not talking enough maybe about the New York Rangers, who have 110 points and lead the entire league?
I was looking at that too, but I was like, I don't know.
I don't think so. I think they play a round or two, but they're still not quite there, I don't think. Compared to the other top teams.
Yeah. I like your Dallas pick. Mm-hmm. I like Florida though as another option. And
yeah.
The optimist in me wants to believe the Oilers can do it this year. I can't see it, but
they just don't have the depth compared to other teams. Like,
I know.
They just don't have that. The D doesn't line up to the other top like four teams. I mean, their offense would be better than anybody else's, like Drysdale and McDavid. I guess anybody is better.
Yeah.
But when you have a third line that has like 30 goals, a 30 goal scorer, like Wyatt Johnson.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And two other guys that still are really good. I mean,
we could have had Wyatt
and
Johnson.
They play fast. No. We don't need to do that.
Yeah.
But they play fast. The whole team plays fast.
Yeah.
They forecheck fast. They like choke you off in the neutral zone fast. And when they transition the puck, their D can move the puck. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Good call, Tyler. I like that one.
I like the Dallas pick.
Well, guys, anything else before we sign off for the season? Nothing. A lot of shaking heads. A lot of nervous looks. Well, you know what? I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, but we didn't have the whole crew here, the whole Hacks team. So, just I want to give a special thank you again to Bruce and Tyler. The two of you really picked the slack up when John was buried in work and I was buried in work and I was traveling and all the rest of it. You guys really stepped up and helped us out and. Did a really good job hosting the show, so much appreciated. And then I guess I just want to say thanks to our listeners, and thanks to Evan and Ryan too for jumping in and joining the Hacks.
Definitely.
And we're looking forward to seeing more Dynasty content from them.
Yeah, thanks, Evan.
I haven't seen Ryan's therapy bill come through yet, so. Jeez.
Oh, Ryan's gonna love that. That was fantastic. It's been a fun season. It's been a good time. I was glad the four of us were able to get together and see a game and have some fun that weekend too. And
that was great.
Yep. That was great.
We'll do some more good stuff like that. So anyway, I'm rambling. We're just under an hour here now. So with that, guys, I guess we'll sign off for another season. It's been a lot of fun. Thanks for the support, and we'll see you. Probably in July, not January.
Sounds see at the parade.
Yeah, there we go.
I'm waiting for John. Say the line, buddy.
Bye, Felicia.
Take care, folks.
Good night.